Well, David, we are blessed to have you with us today.
Amen.
We're so grateful for your ongoing missionary work in Brazil.
And yes.
Thank you for the time that you were able to give with us today. And look forward to the ministry of the word. Come on up here.
Amen.
All right. Nice to have you with us.
It's such a joy and a delight to be here. The first single most important reason why we are here is because you have prayed for us, and you pray for us, and that is the one single most important reason why we're here alive to report to you on what God is doing.
Amen. Amen.
There is nothing more valuable on planet Earth or in the universe than prayer.
Yes.
Because God said it was, right? So why do we believe anything else? Greetings from a family. Our son Jacob lives in Maryland. He works at the Andrews Air Force Base there for a contractor after having served in the U.S. Marines for 6 years on HMX-1, presidential flight duties. He was the chief mechanic on one of the airplanes that followed the president everywhere he went. He would never say where he was going. He always only said after the fact, he would say, I was in Amman, Jordan, I was in England, I was, then he would tell us after the fact. Greetings also from Pastor Ruben Heredia in Bolivia, Pastor Inez Uluag in Panama, Pastor Marvin Duick in Paraguay, and Pastor Elmer Farinas in Cuba. These are all part of the network that God has given to us.
Yes.
It's a privilege, you know, it's because God gives us the ability to network and count on those brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same thing we're doing, but we also are there to support them and pray for them and advise them and encourage them as well. And the Pastor Omar Farinas, especially from Cuba, is just delighted to have me share on an app which is called WhatsApp. By the way, if you're not familiar with it, if you're in South America and you don't have WhatsApp in Brazilian ways, you don't exist. That's how important it is.
Wow.
So I would like to just briefly meditate on the passage that I was asked by God, and I shared with Pastor Ron that we would be speaking on, which is in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through, we can read 4 through 9 as it is in the bulletin.
Okay.
So if anybody would like to read that, please feel free to do so. I'm going to do this the way we do it in our church in Brazil, and we would like to ask you to volunteer for you to read verses 9 through 12. Yep, what we have in the building? Sure.
No.
Anybody can read, please.
Yeah, okay. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 9.
Right, exactly.
Okay, there we go. And he heard things that cannot be told. I know mine starts in between, but he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Father, we thank you for your word that is the truth. It's the truth that you have established, Lord, from before time and will continue to exist forever. We ask you, Lord, to work in our hearts through your word this morning.
Yes, Lord.
That we will leave your house this morning with our hearts further strengthened by your word, by the ministry of your Holy Spirit through your word to our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
To clarify, to clearly communicate to us, Lord, what you have planned for us even before we were born.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for this blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Weakness is not weakness. The first weakness is the one defined by Daniel Webster. The second weakness in this phrase is the word defined by God. God's definition of weakness is diametrically opposed to the weakness defined by man. The reason we say that is because we see that evidence in Paul's life. And I'm sure that all of us, each one of us, every son and child of God on planet Earth who is redeemed and saved by the blood of Christ can say to some extent that weakness is desirable, maybe even just for a few minutes, fleeting moments. And yet, obviously, Paul is the one of the big exceptions, because his perception of weakness, his knowledge and his acute awareness of weakness was the strength of God acting through him. Isn't that the irony? Okay. It's God's ways are so counterintuitive. They defy logic, they defy all of our human explanations will not suffice to clarify and to teach us about God.
Amen.
What is God's purpose? Paul clearly, eloquently answers that extremely difficult question that to this day continues to baffle. In fact, a clear sign of the myriad of false teaching is the deliberate absence of this remarkable imperative of the cost of unconditional obedience to Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior, Redeemer. Paul is unapologetic in his affirmation of the certainty of suffering. He doesn't try to mitigate it. He doesn't try to sugarcoat it, right? God obviously doesn't, and Paul doesn't either. He shockingly suffered such vicious vitriolic attacks from all corners of society, perhaps even more painful or as painful as the 5 times he was lashed 39 times by his own people, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 stone left for dead outside Lystra's gate, might have been also the deep hurt he suffered by false brothers. I think that probably hurt him most.
Yes.
More than the physical pain. Mm. Because it comes from the least, least expect, right?
Right.
All this terrible persecution caused him indelible physical and emotional pain beyond description. Yet, amazingly, all of this pain did not dislodge him from his unshakable faith in our Lord.
Yes.
Full of grace, power, and mercy. Not in the slightest way, absolutely. How about my life and yours? Aha, that's the big question, right? Where do we stand in the face of this tremendous lesson by the Apostle Paul? Where do we stand? We cannot possibly expect anything less costly, less durable than the faith of our fathers, than the fearless faith of our brothers. The ones he met in that exponentially intensive Chaldean furnace. Oh, I could be envious of someone, I'm envious of those 3 men. They told that evil king, we will obey Christ whether you kill us or
yes.
Amen. Or yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I still to this day think I would be shaking on my boots.
Yes.
To
yes.
say something like that to Nebuchadnezzar. Right. I was just thinking to myself, so what powerful
yes.
faith.
Yes.
Knowing full well they could be burnt to a crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Without even having gone into the furnace, because those men that threw him in there were killed.
Yeah.
God is glorified in our lives exactly how he intends to manifest his strength. And we can argue to God about it. We can fight him and resist him. I think we all realize our weaknesses as well. We have weaknesses as humans, obviously, because we're sinful, right? But the God's weakness is very different. The weakness that God wants to become evident in your life, in my life, is radically different than the weakness that we know of in our human frailties. Because that type of weakness is a total and unconditional submission to God's actions and grace in your life, in my life. He is unrelenting. He will not let us go, no matter how much we fight and kick. And I have to confess my own sins, because I have to say, Lord, don't pay attention to me when I resist, when I argue with you, when I fight and kick against you, because I don't. Just don't pay attention to me. Just take me where you want me to go, even if you have to drag me there by force. And it took me a long time for me to acknowledge that I was giving God, saying that to the Lord. I'm ashamed to realize how many years I was a Christian to be able to actually courage to tell God that he had full, absolute, unconditional ownership of my life. And if he wanted to snuff out my life today, fine. If he wanted me to live another 100 years, I'm fine with that too. I just say, Lord, don't let me live a day shorter or a day longer than you intend for me. I don't want to commit the same mistake as Hezekiah, who cried, Lord, and God gave him 15 more years and a horrible son that I still refuse, but I still have a hard time dealing with the fact that God actually forgave that man. And I just ask God to bless your life today with this message from the Apostle Paul, because his message is so powerful. How could a man with that with the qualifications that he had come to the point of actually acknowledging his utter weakness, his utter dependence upon God? And we think, Paul, how could you do that? Because he was completely ready to say, Lord, it's your grace in my life. And we ask, I challenge each of you and myself here today. Believe me, I am facing the same battle that you face. We are all in God's service. We have all each been given a mission, a very specific mission.
Amen.
Don't ever disregard that. That God has given us a very specific mission. Don't think that because we're missionaries that we're sent overseas, we're these brave, you know. Because God uses the most unlikely people to do the most extraordinary things for him.
Yes.
Gladys Allward, this very short, frail lady who was determined to serve the Lord in China, against all odds. The mission leader said, you can't possibly become a missionary. You don't fit any of the prerequisites that we can say by your physical appearance or who you are. And she traveled all the way to China through the most unbelievable circumstances. With the ticket she got together, with the money she got together just for a one-way ticket to China. There she was subjected to the worst possible abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The worst abuse she was subjected to was when she had to witness before her very eyes over 200 university students who were sent one by one to have their heads cut off because they refused to deny Christ.
Amen. Wow. Oh, amen.
And she was forced to watch that. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have to say that God is amazing. We don't have the terms, the vocabulary to describe who God is.
Amen.
I was kicked out of the hospital. The doctor, unbeknownst to him, was the tool that God used to teach me a lesson. The way that this is, I'm starting at the end, going back to the beginning, now in reverse. So I was on the way to the hospital in a car driven by a missionary with a bandage that my wife had put on my head and around my ankle and my arms and legs, wherever there was blood spurting out, because I had been shot twice through with a .38 caliber bullet by these gentlemen who apparently had been watching too much TV, and he wanted to make us part with our belongings. The long story short, that he took Denora's purse with her Bible in it, but that's all he got away with. Everything else was left behind. Even the document that I had waited for 5 years from the Brazilian government to have, I just got it that very day, and it was in my wallet, and they took my wallet, but my wallet never went with it. My wallet stayed behind. Mm-hmm. Guess that God took it out of their hands. So I'm on my way to the hospital. This is really the moment that's really important, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. God compelled me to forgive those men. There were five men.
Okay.
They pointed guns at me first, and then as I got out of the car, because I was afraid they were trigger happy, the bullet, usually what happens, they usually shoot the wrong person. So they were pointing that at me, but it was looked more like pointing at my wife. So I got out of the car, and that's when the guy said, "Well, I'm gonna, you know, you're not cooperating." So I wanted to. And he was like 5 feet away from me. So I got two bullets. One through my arm, one through my leg, and I didn't drop like he wanted me to. He even hit me over the head and broke like four or five teeth of mine. And God compelled me to forgive them. And I said, "Lord," I started arguing with God. I said, "Lord, you can't possibly be asking me to do this under these conditions. Wait till I get to church, then I can be more pious, you know, and then I can say, 'Okay, Lord, you know, now we can resolve this.'" And I felt a strong sense that God was saying to me, "It's got to be now or never, buddy." And I praise God for He is unrelenting. He does not let us go. How marvelous is that? That's God.
Amen.
It could be.
Amen.
There's no human being could possibly. And I prayed that prayer, my brothers. I was forced to pray that prayer. Unbelievably, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that moment I prayed that prayer was like the clouds broke, the flowers. I felt like I was in heaven. Honestly, there was no exaggeration. So I got to the hospital, the doctor said, "Well, I can sew this up, and then what about these bullet holes?" He said, "Well, the hot lead will take care of that. You don't have to do anything. It's all taken care of." All right, so I took his word for it, and so he put me in the recovery room. And that's where my problems began. Because I started talking too much. I was just talking and talking, and the doctor came in there, and he kicked me out of that recovery room. He said, "You go home." And I thought to myself, the epitome of irony. I should have been 7 feet under. And he was sending me home. And I left the hospital. I couldn't even feel the ground under my feet, honestly, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all to God's credit. I take no credit. It was only by his grace. And that's how God deals with us, myself, and you, all of us.
Amen.
Please do not hesitate to cast yourself, not just your cares, what God tells us to do.
Yes.
Cast your entire self, everything, who you are. Don't be afraid. What are we afraid of? I hate to admit that I was afraid of God. Wow, if I really do that, God, you know, who knows what God's going to do with
me. Amen, yes.
God will never do you any harm. He loves you. Mm-hmm. All his plans are perfect. C.S. Lewis said, the problem is not so much that we doubt that God wants the best for us, but our problem is how painful his best for us is going to be. Mm-hmm. And it is. And yes, the Apostle Paul did not hide that from us. Neither did Jesus Christ either. And he told us, when Apostle Paul told Timothy about that, about troubles, yes, tribulation. Thank you, my good brothers in Christ. Pastor asked me to mention also my family. It just started with Jacob, and I forgot the other two. Andrew and Leanne have one of our grandchildren named Isaiah.
Yeah.
And Rebecca and Matthew have our other grandchild named August.
Oh.
So we have two grandchildren.
Amen.
Actually,
amen.
We have more.
Yes.
We have two grandchildren who are in heaven, who are called to heaven,
yes,
before their time.
Yes.
And I know that was one of the most difficult, trying moments of our life.
Yes.
And but you prayed, and you brought us here because of your prayers, and you will send it forth because of your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.